Welcome to Nashville. You're listening to Business as Usual, Nashville's favorite business podcast. I'm your host, Corey Frederick, manager of the Goodlettsville branch. Today, we have a special guest, Daniel Marshall. He is the lead trainer and policy specialist for the Office of Impact. Welcome, Daniel.
Oh, thank you, Corey. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, so Daniel, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Corey, again, I appreciate being here, and before I bore your listeners with something about me, let me just acknowledge that it's my pleasure to be here because I've got a great history with the Nashville Public Library. Since moving here, I've been gifted with some great programming there, often led by the time that Andrea Blackman was over an aspect of the library there. But I've enjoyed Southern Word, which they would have there periodically with Rashad Rayford, Sean Witzel, and others, kind of teaching young folks poetry, helping them to write, perform, and that sort of thing. I've enjoyed a beautiful memorial service for Justice A.A. Burtz there in the Civil Rights Room. Tours of the Civil Rights Room there, that's always a great thing. And so I've really had good experiences there at the Nashville Public Library, so I'm glad to be a part here of this interview. I got to add that I've had the opportunity to attend several of the workforce culture meetings that is a committee that is a part of the library, and I've enjoyed talking with those folks about things that they're working on to make things more fair. So, about me, I'm from Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
Moved here in 2007, and I've got a couple of daughters. Both of them are full of sunshine and joy, and so they're my raison d'être, if you will. So one is 28, one is 9, and I'm just excited here to be here to talk to you all. I'm representing the Office of Impact, as you mentioned, and would love to share with your listeners information about the Office of Impact, some of the great things that we're doing.
Well, I appreciate the intro, Daniel. This is the first time, I think, on our podcast that anybody has started out with a some praise for the library. Really appreciate that. I know the library has done some great things over the years. The Special Collections does a fantastic job at what they do as well. So, so let's just dive right in. So you mentioned the Office Impact, and that's who you worked for. Could you tell us what the Office of Impact is, and how does it help small business owners and entrepreneurs?
Sure, Corey. The Office of Impact is a division within Metro Nashville government, and been around for about 5 years or so. Andrea Blackman is the first chief and only chief of that office. And so she's been shepherding the office through various iterations over the years. And I can say, kind of in a nutshell, Corey, the main focus is to really make things more fair in the city. Yeah. And so we want to make things more fair throughout Nashville government, but also within the community. And so in doing so, or in trying to achieve that goal, we do a number of training sessions with departments and other divisions throughout Metro Nashville to kind of talk them through some exercises of how to exist in the workplace and promote more fairness. Okay. And those workshops, sometimes we'll do a series of three or four with a given department. Those workshops might last for each session anywhere between an hour and 3 hours at a time. And so those are always great sessions and well received by our colleagues. But in addition to that, we go out in the community. A key with us is that our existence in the community is really to co-govern with the community, what is going to be best for the community, what they're needing, how we can serve their needs. We engage in listening sessions with the community. In fact, we had one here at the NECAT Studios a while ago, led by Tasneem Grace and Andrea Blackman. So those kinds of things, we're out in the community kind of listening. People, whether it's something that's within our purview or wheelhouse or not, because of the trust of the community, a lot of times they reach out to us to try to get help on things. If it's something that we can't handle, we try to make sure we get them referred to the appropriate government or other entity for their assistance. So that's in a nutshell what the Office of Impact is about. Wow. We have, in terms of businesses, Corey, we have some good information on our website, a few pages that deal with how to start, grow, and get funding for small businesses. So I definitely encourage folks to check out those pages on our website. We've got a nice little flow chart that we put together about how to start a business in Nashville, making sure that you appropriately navigate the regulatory entities and that sort of thing. So I do encourage people to check out our website.
That's awesome. Okay. So you are also involved in another program or another initiative called Breaking Barriers to Business. So could you tell us about that initiative?
Sure, Corey. Let me start by indicating that a good place to get a nice summary with visuals and the whole nine yards of Breaking Barriers to Business is if you go on YouTube and look up Breaking Barriers to Business Nashville Story. I believe it's something that Main Street America has placed on YouTube, and it's a nice primer as to what the program is about. It features some of our partners here in Nashville, including Boumin University with Danielle McGee Gibson, International Corridor with Tomas Vaughn and Marta Silva and others, and also the Bordeaux Corridor. And so you can find out a lot in listening to the leaders of those business serving organizations. That's what we call the organizations that are serving really as liaisons between the businesses and our department, the Office of Impact, and also to the B3 partners generally. So good information from them, some good explanations and discussions from Andrea Blackman, the chief of the Office of Impact, in that video as well. So I do encourage folks to kind of check that out. That gives them a good primer for what it's about. But having said that, stepping back, this is a program that was started in January of 2023. It's slated to go through at least the end of this year, the end of December. And it is funded by Truist Foundation. And funding and training kind of gets funneled through Main Street America and Living Cities. Both of those are philanthropic organizations that have been around for a long time. The idea is that through research, they found out in formulating the program that obviously a lot of businesses did not fare well during the COVID era, and the businesses that were hardest hit through that era were in the Southeast. And the businesses in the Southeast of that group that were hardest hit were businesses representing certain demographics. So the idea behind Breaking Barriers to Business was to, in five Southeastern cities, Miami, Memphis, Nashville, Atlanta, and Charlotte, North Carolina, to focus on businesses that are often overlooked, disadvantaged, et cetera, that were hardest hit through the COVID era, to get them support financially through technical assistance, training, et cetera, through even hopefully the change in certain key policies that might be onerous to small businesses. And so with that, each city was tasked with identifying three corridors that they wanted to focus upon. Corridors that, again, would really, really hone in on the areas where folks fall within certain demographics that really, really need some assistance and were really hardest hit throughout the COVID era. So in Nashville, we settled upon, and when I say we settled upon, by the way, we had some challenges, and initially identifying our three corridors because, frankly, in the COVID era, a lot of businesses went out of business.
Yeah.
Some folks that we had in mind that we wanted to partner with for this, they just wound up having to go out of business because COVID hit them so hard. So initially, we had some in mind. They didn't work out. And so we wound up with Jefferson Street Historic Buchanan District, and the business corridors for those run along those streets that I mentioned, and then the international corridor, and that runs along Nolensville Pike, and then Bordeaux, which runs along Clarksville Pike mainly. And so for each of those three corridors, they have business-serving organizations. I might abbreviate it at some point as BSOs, but they have business-serving organizations that represent them and that serve as liaisons between the businesses and the city, and then also the partners I mentioned, Main Street America and Living Cities, et cetera. And so starting with the international corridor, we work with Conexión Américas. And so that's Tomas Vaughn, that's Marta Silva helping us out there with the Jefferson Street Historic Buchanan district. We have Boumin University that is headed by Danielle McGee Gibson. And then we have Bordeaux, which is creating an environment for success. Those are our business serving organizations and our corridors.
Okay, very cool. Well, to do a shameless plug, which I am not above doing that, to do a shameless plug, we did record an episode. Go back and listen if you're interested in learning more about Conexión Américas. We had Ms. Silva on the show, and she talked a lot about Conexión.
Well, thank you for that. We love Marta at the Office of Impact, and we're often working in concert with them, attending their events, checking in with them to see how we can be of service. So they're fantastic there.
Absolutely. So who are, we already mentioned a few of the community partners with B3. How do you work together to benefit the communities that you're working in?
I'm going to start with the genesis of B3, which is the Living Cities, Truist Foundation, and Main Street America literally going into the communities of those five cities and talking with the businesses, the business-serving organizations, and the government partners to ascertain what are the issues that you're seeing, what are the things that you're needing so that your businesses can thrive, be more successful, et cetera. And so from gathering all of that information, they then reflected that information back to those businesses and other partners in the cities to make sure they got it right, first of all. And then from that, everyone began working together to come up with solutions that would be long lasting, even beyond the length of this grant program, so that those solutions would address the issues on hopefully a permanent basis. And so with that, a number of things surface. An example for you, Corey, is that the business serving organizations indicated that there were issues with the way a lot of businesses, small businesses in particular, tended to keep or not keep appropriate financial records like profit and loss statements, the way they tended to file taxes, because often there's a thing where small businesses want to file taxes in a way that really limits their tax liability. But then when it comes to being attractive to financial institutions for loans, they're showing all of these losses as opposed to showing how the business is actually successful, thriving, and profiting. And so those sorts of things are part of what this program is about, and getting the businesses the necessary training to do appropriate financial statements. There is money attached to the program, and so there's grant money that flows through the city, grant money that flows through the business serving organizations to help the businesses, and so that money is used to assist the businesses. So one thing, for instance, the business serving organizations have come up with microloan programs for the businesses to help them out. The city is working on things that would help the businesses as well in terms of promotion in any way we can. In fact, one way we looked at doing it, and we're still working on it, is potentially becoming a Main Street affiliated program so that we can help promote the businesses audiences through all of the great resources that Main Street America has. So those are some examples of what's happening through the program. There are also great training opportunities. I love that everyone involved in it, the business serving organizations and the city representatives, get to go to conferences where they can learn the best practices about how to promote and run businesses in the area, how to have policies that are friendly to businesses. So with that, they get to use their funding to attend the Main Street America conference annually, also the Living Cities conference. I think that's every other year, and really learn from folks all over the country what the best practices are, and to network with a number of folks who are doing it as well or better than they are, and develop those relationships that will help them in the future in their cities.
Very cool. Very cool. So it sounds like there's a lot going on, a lot of opportunities for small business owners there with the B3 program. How does one, or how does a small business owner get involved with B3?
The great thing about the business serving organizations, Corey, is that they are physically in the business corridors that they serve. And so they're known throughout the community, and they're in touch, and they're known to the business businesses there. They reach out to the businesses in their community to let them know about the program, to let them know about the micro loans that I mentioned, to let them know about the ongoing training. I think in each instance, each of the business serving organizations are doing training at least on a monthly basis with the businesses, and then also having meetings, I think maybe once or twice a month, to kind of keep the businesses updated. In addition to keeping the businesses updated on those kinds of things, they'll have speakers to come in. Okay. You know, it might be from financial institutions. It might be politicians talking about things that they can do to assist and that sort of thing. So it's an ongoing training. It's connecting those businesses with decision makers in their area so that they have a networking connection when things arrive with their businesses. And so, to answer, that's kind of a long answer, Corey, I apologize, but no, to answer your question, they get connected through the business serving organization with what's happening with B3. And then also I would encourage the businesses to look on the Main Street America website, look on the Living Cities website to see generally what's happening with the Breaking Barriers to Business. And then the video that I don't know if I mentioned in the beginning, but there's a video out there on the Main Street America site. Mm-hmm. You can just look up on YouTube, Breaking Barriers to Business, Nashville story, and that gives you a good primer on what's happening with Nashville with Breaking Barriers to Business and some of the players involved in it.
Okay, very cool. We asked this question of everybody who sits in that chair across from us. So what is one piece of advice you'd give to someone looking to start a small business or have a small business and is a small business owner and entrepreneur?
Collaboration, Corey. With small businesses, there can be issues of trust, issues of independence that keep individual small businesses going it alone. But for instance, what if you collaborated with two or three or more other businesses of your type to buy the goods that you need? Yeah. So if you did that, and you wound up getting a much lower price than you're paying individually. What if you did that? What if you collaborated with other businesses of your type and even businesses that are not of your type, but in your area around certain common core things that you all are facing and decided to, because there's strength in numbers often, collectively come together to go to the powers that be to say, hey, these are issues that the 10 of our organizations are facing. We're your constituents. We want you to do something about it.
Sure.
So I would say collaboration. What if you got together, and this is a big thing, unfortunately, but what if you got together to share information about scammers that are out there?
Yeah.
one business gets scammed by a particular customer or potential customer, what if you all share that information so that they can't go down to your colleague down the street and pull the same thing?
Yeah.
So those are examples, I think, of collaboration that sometimes small businesses are hesitant to get involved in because, again, there can be trust issues. There can be issues of wanting to be terribly independent. But coming together to do those kinds of things can only help you. I'd also suggest that you just get hooked into networks, you know, chambers of commerce, other organizations where there's a structure for you to periodically interact with other businesses and kind of learn the best practices. Those are a few of the ideas I have about how businesses can help themselves, Corey.
Very cool. Very cool. So, Daniel, like I said, appreciate you being on the show. What is one way? How can people get in touch with you? How can they get involved with the Office Impact and B3?
Yeah, so I invite folks to check out our website, just kind of Bing or Google Metro Office of Impact and kind of see some of the things that we're involved in. We keep our website, I think, pretty nice and updated and colorful, so there's a lot of information to be gathered there. I can be reached at my email address, daniel.marshall@nashville.gov. That's daniel.marshall@nashville.gov. I'm happy to answer whatever questions I have the ability to. If I can't, then I will see where I can gather the information for those inquiring.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. And thank you, Nashville, for tuning in. This has been Business as Usual. I've been your host, Corey Frederick, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.